number six. Heard a story one time about King Henry IV of France. He asked the Duke of Alva one time about a recent eclipse of the sun, and asked him. He said, "Did you see that eclipse of the sun? Did you see it?" And the Duke's reply was, "He said, no. I've had so much on earth to do, I have not had time to look to the heavens." He said, "I've had so much on earth to do that I have not had time to look to the heavens." The sad case this morning is that I believe in the Christian life, many of us who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say the same things. We've had too much on earth to do that we haven't had time to look to the heavens. May God help us this morning to look to the heavens. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 19, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this simple thought. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace and love. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, the death, the burial, and the resurrection that guarantees us life. We place our faith in Jesus and all he's done for us. God, for that, we're grateful this morning. Pray you bless downstairs the young people, the children's church. Pray you bless all that's said and done. Thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you for the good singing. I pray you bless the reading and the preaching of your word. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the Duke said to King Henry IV, he said, "I've had so much to do on earth that I have not had time to look to the heavens." Many times in our Christian life, I believe we get carried away and we'd have to say the same things. We've got so much going on in earth that we're worried about, that we're constantly caught up in trying to achieve and acquire and all the things of this life, that we have spent so much time on earthly things that we have had no time seemingly to give attention to heavenly things. Can I say that you and I, we need to learn to seek first the kingdom of God. First. Many times, if we be honest, many times the so-called American dream has nowadays become the enemy. Listen to me. The American so-called dream has many times in our lives became the enemy of the victorious, abundant, spirit-filled Christian life. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, we want the house. We want the fence around the yard. We want the swing set. We want the kids. We want the nice car. We want the boat. We want all this. And many times we have set out to accomplish and to acquire and to fulfill the American dream, and we've left God somewhere in the distance. We started out well, possibly. We started out with good intentions, maybe. But we've lost our focus somewhere along the line. And Jesus says here, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we, right now today, you, me, we all, we need to seek first Jesus. Amen. We need to learn to seek first his kingdom. We need to learn to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is that we need to be about heavenly things. We need to, somebody said, well, preacher, you know, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You may accomplish that. I'm not so sure. I don't think I've ever met that person. Are you listening to me? Most people I've met are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Are you listening to me? And I'm talking about church people. This morning. I'm talking about supposed profession Christians. And Jesus said we're to seek first. So this is what I want to preach on, simple thought. Seek ye first. I want to look at this with the idea of this seeking first. I want us to think about seeking him. And I want you to see, number one, the priority of our focus. Jesus says something here about our focus. He says, seek ye first. I see the priority of our focus. We sometimes will go through this life. We will try to acquire this. We're trying to have a dream. We're trying to do this. And if we're honest, many times we include God. I mean, we want the house. We want the car. And I mean, it's like we don't just throw God to the side and forget him altogether. We add his name in, and we'll, even once in a while, we'll say, I thank God for this. But if we're not careful, we've included God, but we've not let his kingdom and his focus be the center point in our life. We've included him almost out of necessity because, you know, we're Christians and everything. We don't want to leave God out of this. We want him to ride along. Hey, but many times we've let him be included, but he's not been a first mode and importance. Amen. Hey, I'm preaching this morning. We include God. He's not the center point of our lives. The idea here when Jesus said in verse 33, but seek ye first. The word seek has the idea of seeking in order to find. We could look at this in seeking. He's speaking to people who needed to seek him to worship. You and I, we ought to seek him and worship him and him alone. But this idea of seeking, this word, it has the strong emphasis on not just looking around aimlessly and wondering, but is to seek in order to find. It's not aimless wandering. It's not going about. Some people, when they go out to eat in the afternoon, they say, I'm going to go get something to eat. They have no idea where they're going. They just riding around and maybe something pops up that looks good. No, he's not got the idea of just riding around looking for something. He says, make it your first and your intention, your foremost thought. Hey, he said, seek with an intention to find. To find what? He said, to find the kingdom of God. To find his righteousness. He said, seek. This idea is to search intentionally, to have a demand and a craving for, and to desire and to inquire after, and to seek the kingdom of God. And then he said, first. Not just seek it, but he said, seek it first. The word first here is the word proton. It means to come forward or to come before, to be at the beginning, to be the chief most interest of your life. That's the idea. He's saying, I want you to seek his first in time. I want you to seek it first. Hey, the Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You realize if you're lost today, there may be a time when the Holy Spirit of God does not deal with your heart. You say, I'll get saved, preacher. I'll do it later on. I'll wait till I'm later in life. I'll wait till I'm old. I'll live my life my way. And then when I'm old and I'm decrepit and I can't do anything, then I'll have time for God. You realize, my friend, there's been people like that. And when they got down to the end of their life, they had no interest in the things of God. Hey, they had no interest in getting right with God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God didn't deal with them then like they did when they were young. Now, I'm not a prophet, nor son of a prophet, but I can't tell you exactly what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life. But I'm telling you, you're playing Russian roulette with eternity, and I'm telling you it's not worth it. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit of God deals with your heart today, shows you that you're lost, shows you need to be saved, I'm telling you, if he tells you, you must be born again, I'm telling you, friend of mine, hey, you better trust in the Lord. You better seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Hey, I'm talking about in time. I'm talking not only in time, but in place. In place, you ought to seek the Lord. There's many people in place, they're not seeking the Lord. I see them, I mean, they're not putting him first in place.
Because they spend so much time everywhere else except for the house of God, except for in the things of God, except for serving the Lord. They spend so much time everywhere else, and they'll go to church if they have time on the flip side. Well, preacher, when I get done with everything I got to do. Now listen, we're not talking about it. We've said this before. If the ox falls in the ditch, if your boss tells you you got to work, you got to work. Amen. Everybody listening to me? Everybody, if the ox falls in the ditch, you get the ox out. But don't throw the ox in the ditch. Amen. Don't jump in the ditch and wallow and say, hey, I like the ditch. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about seeking Him first, not only with our time, but seeking Him first in place. I'm telling you what, child of God, you say you love the Lord and you want to do God's will and you want to see God's kingdom built. You want to see the church attitude. You want to see people saved. And you spend more time down at the bar, down at the tavern. Can I tell you, a Christian has no place on a dance floor. Are you listening to me? You have no place in a saloon. Hey, you have no place in a gambling ring. Are you listening to me, child of God? I'm just telling you, hey, you ought to spend more time at the house of God than anywhere else out in this world. Amen. The things of God. Hey, seeking Him first in rank. I'm talking about what's of most important to you in your life. What's of most important to you? What would rank chief? Well, here's my priorities. Now, he's talking about the priority of our focus. What are you focused on? See, we tend to seek things. Let's be honest. We tend to seek things. And then when we get all these things, we tend to let God come along. Let's be honest. Look over there. I'm putting it down here on the cookie. The cookies are down on the bottom shelf this morning. All right? If you want to buy it, they're there. We're trying to get things. We're trying to get the car, the house, everything in line. And then if I got time, then I'll, God, if I have time for you, God, let me pay my bill. Jesus, hey, the Bible teaches us clearly throughout the Word of God that the tithe is the first 10%, not the last 10% that you got left. Oh, it's getting quiet. Amen. Amen. It's preaching time still. Amen. The tithe is off the top. The Old Testament talked about the first fruits. Amen. Many times, if we're honest with you, we go out and I planted my garden this summer, and I was just going to be honest with you. The first big red, ripey juice tomato that came off the vine, guess who ate it? I. You want to be honest with you? I. Now, down toward the end, the last month or two, hey, I told anybody that wanted, hey, you want some tomatoes? I got some tomatoes left. Y'all, are y'all listening? Amen. Hey, but them first ones was mine. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Brother Mitchell, I didn't give, there was one great big one that fed 16 people and had some left over, believe it or not. And I shared that one, but the first ones that came off, they was mine. Y'all ain't getting this. Many times in life, God says, I want the first fruits. You can have everything that's left. And many times we say, God, I'm going to take everything else, and if I got anything left, then I'm going to give you. Look, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but don't expect God's blessing with that attitude. See, we tend to take and seek after things and then allow God to come in with them at the end if we have any time left. And our priorities need adjusting. If we be honest, our priorities need some adjustment. Here's watch what Jesus said about earthly treasures. Some things about earthly treasures. If we go back with the verse 19 and 20, he says earthly treasures decay. He said in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Jesus said, you can lay up treasures on this earthly bank. I'm talking about one of these days, BB&T and Master Bank and all these different banks. Listen, one of these days, those banks are going to collapse, and the buildings are going to burn, and their safes are going to bust. One of these days, the economy is going to dry up. Are you listening to me? Hey, and I'm telling you, hey, I don't care what bank you put it on this earth. The Bible, Jesus Christ himself said, if you put your treasures in earth banks, he said, you're putting it somewhere where thieves can break in and steal, and where rust doth corrupt, and where the moth can eat it. Hey, he said, but don't do that. You're putting your money, you're putting all your finances, you're putting all your attention in the temporary. He didn't say don't lay up treasures. He said just don't lay them up in earth's bank. Look at the very next verse, verse 20. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He said, don't put them in earthly banks, but put your treasures in heavenly banks. Hey, listen, I understand he's not saying not to invest our income and to take our money and to pay our bills. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the focus of our priorities. He's talking about what do we do with our intents and what are we after. Hey, listen, are you trying to just build a big bank account? Are you trying to build a big 401k? Are you trying to build some kind of big retirement plan? Hey, honey, you done seen what the economy can do. Hey, you're going to lose everything sooner or later if you ain't careful. But Jesus said you can put it in heaven. He said you can invest in heaven. Can I just say any dime, any penny, any dollar that you ever invested in the kingdom of God is never wasted. Watch this now. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. How many of you like to have a guarantee you put your money somewhere, you put your finances somewhere, it ain't going to be no loss? Some of y'all lying. How many of you would like that? I'd like that. Amen. On this earth, we got to put our money in a bank. Amen. Hey, we got to have some money put somewhere sometimes to pay our bills and things like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about not having money and paying. He's talking about not letting money have you. Amen. Are you listening to me? And that's a vast difference. Nothing wrong with having finances, but don't let your finances have you. Hey, he said these earthly treasures, one day they are going to decay. But he compares them and contrasts them with heavenly treasures. You invest in heaven's bank. And he said, hey, you can put your investments in heavenly banks and you're promised to show a reward. You're promised to guarantee that the moths can't get in, that the thieves can't break in. They're not going to rust. Hey, I'm talking about a guarantee. But earthly treasures decay. And then he said, not only do earthly treasures decay, but he said earthly treasures draw. Look in verse 21. Watch verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, many of us, we try to turn it around and we try to say, well, I love this, so I'm going to put my money there. But Jesus said, where you put your money is where your heart's going. Amen. So by what Jesus is saying, I could, and I don't do this, but if you would allow me and we went to the giving records of this church or your checkbook record book and we went through it and we saw where you spent all your money, I can tell you where your heart's going to be soon afterwards. Are you listening? Oh, preacher, you just got in my tater pack. No, we're just trying to see what Jesus said, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You start putting money somewhere, you're going to start loving where you put your money. Just keep quiet. It's funny how you mention money in a Baptist church, and it gets quiet. Watch me now. You go out here, I don't care what it is. You go out here and spend your money on a car. And guess what you're going to start doing? You're going to start having some interest in that car. You take your money and invest it in a 401k, and you know what? You're going to start watching the thing go up and down and up and down and up and down. Are y'all listening? Where if you didn't have no money in it, you wouldn't have given a flip. Is anybody, are y'all with me this morning? Jesus said, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Jesus said, listen, where you put your... Can I say, if you learn to invest money into the kingdom of God, and you start putting your treasure in the heavenly bank, your heart's going to follow. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said, for where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be also. It's got a drawing power. It's funny how our heart is interested in our pocketbook. If you don't believe it, just go up to somebody, take their wallet, and take off with it. Do it, I dare you. Go up to somebody, go up to Steve Tysinger, grab his wallet and run and see if he don't chase you or shoot you one. Amen? I wouldn't trust him. He's a good shot. I'm just simply saying, you grab somebody's money and take it, and their heart's going to be following. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Where you invest your earthly finances, your heart's going to be followed. And then he says, not only do earthly treasures draw, but he said they darken. They darken. Watch verse 22 and 23. He said, the light of the body is the eye, therefore thine eye be single. That whole body shall be full of light. He's talking about if your focus is on Christ. He's speaking here of light and darkness. He's talking about when you're focused in on Christ and on Him alone. He said you're full of light. But watch this, verse 23. He said, but if then I be evil. And he has the idea here, your eye. He said he's speaking here of not focused right. But your eye is out of focus and it has greed in mind. He said, but if then I be evil, that whole body shall be full of darkness. That whole body's out of focus. It's out of whack. Watch now. He said, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He's speaking here of how earthly treasures, if we get our focus off the Lord Jesus and get them on the treasures, then they'll darken and they'll cloud us up spiritually. We'll have a cloudy perception. And then he says in verse 24, not only that, but earthly treasures divide. Look at verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. You see that? No man. He didn't say some men, not many men, but watch what Jesus, he said, no man. Are y'all with me? No man can serve two masters. You say, well, preacher, I know some man's got two bosses. Yeah, you let them conflict and you'll find out one of them's the head man. I've known people that had to work two jobs. And one of them, the boss would come and he'd say, I need you to work overtime tonight. And he'd say, well, I got to call the other fellow and tell him I can't come in. You know why? Because the one took priority. Are you listening to me? That's what Jesus said. He said, no man can serve two masters. Watch what he said. He said, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He said, preacher, what's he talking about? Well, explain it. He said, no man can serve God and mammon. Mammon's money. You can't chase the almighty dollar bill around with all your pursuit and all your attention in life and still serve God, is what he's trying to say. He didn't say it was anything wrong with working an honest day's work, earning an honest day's pay. He didn't say it was anything wrong with investing. He didn't say it was anything wrong with having a bank account. He didn't say it was anything wrong with that. What he said is you can't serve God and money. You can't do it. You say, I'll preach it. No, you can't do it. And watch this. He's speaking here of our priorities and the focus of our priorities. See, wealth will enslave us. Wealth will, we've seen in verse number 19 and through 21 that wealth will enslave our heart. We've seen in verse 22 and 23, wealth will engulf and enslave our minds. And now here in verse 24, he showed us how wealth can engulf and enslave our very will to where we cannot even serve God because we're too busy wanting to make more money. Most people on this earth, when they get money, they're not satisfied with money. They want more money. I'm talking about, you read about the richest people who ever lived on the face of the earth, and I forget the guy's name, it might have been Rockefeller, who made all the money in oil, and they asked him, they said, how much, what do you need? Are you content? Are you satisfied? He said, no. They said, what do you want? He said, I just want 1 million more. I'm talking about a millionaire. Hey, and they just want 1 million more. Most people who have money, money has them. Not everybody, but most. Are you listening to me? Most filthy rich, multi-billionaires, millionaires, you get around them, and they're the most miserable person on the face of the earth, most of them. I'm talking about not all of them, but as a rule, they're miserable. You say, preacher, if I had millions, I'd do this and I'd do that. You don't do nothing faithfully with what you got now, you ain't going to do much with millions. You say, preacher, if I won the lottery, I'd tithe. Who are you trying to kid? If you ain't tithing on the $2 you got now, you ain't going to tithe on $2 million later. Yeah, man. Hey, I'm telling you, hey, riches can ruin us. But listen, what Jesus is not, he's not condemning us having money. He's not condemning us having done well financially. What he's condemning is when our focus gets off and gets on to those things. Watch this. Not only does he talk about the priority of our focus, but then he mentions something here about the problems that we face. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, and then all these things. When I was in Bible college, they said, don't preach on things. But you know what I learned a long time ago? If we don't preach on things, people get messed up with things. And Jesus preached on things. He said all these things. Y'all read the Bible with me, verse 33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Y'all see that? And all these things. What things? Well, if you used to go back, he tells you all these things. In verse, look in verse 34 for a second. I'm talking about problems that we face. Problems that we face. Verse 34, you say, we're talking about problems. Look, he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow should take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That word evil thereof, if you look it up, you'll find that word evil has the idea of troubles or adversity. Jesus said, tomorrow's got enough trouble. Tomorrow's got enough adversity. And he's speaking of the things that we face throughout life. He said, you're going to have trouble tomorrow just like you got today. Don't take no thought for tomorrow. And he's talking about all these things in verse 33. All these things. What things, preacher? Well, number one, they're normal things. I want to say they're normal things. If you go back to verse 19, he's talking about finances. 19 and 20, he's talking about finances. How many knows that if you're going to go through life, you got to have money. You got to deal with money. And you just try it for a little while, see if Uncle Sam don't come along looking for some money. You see if the Duke Fowler don't come by looking for some money. You see if, hey, the electric bill, hey, they want money. The cable bill, they want money. The telephone people, you've got to have money. It's normal. Are you listening to me? 19 and 20, it's normal to have finances. It's normal to have to deal with. And then verse 25 and verse 31, he talking about food. He said, take no thought, therefore no thought for your life, what you shall eat. What you shall eat. What you should eat. The idea now, he said, take no thought. He's not saying don't ever think about what you eat. What he's saying is don't worry about it. What he's saying is, and the word, the idea of take no thought throughout this passage, the idea is don't be anxious and worrisome about it. You can't change anything by worry. Matter of fact, you're just going to make things worse with worry. Worry affects our health, it affects our physical health, it affects our emotional state, it affects our spiritual state. You have not changed one thing by worrying about it. Except for made your own life more miserable. The idea here to take no thought is the idea of to be drawn in different directions, to be torn apart. And that's exactly what sitting around worrying about all these things does. It tears our minds apart. It rips us apart inside. And that's what Jesus said. He said, take no thought, verse 25, for your life, what you shall eat. In verse 31, he's talking a little bit about what we eat. So we talk about not only financial things, but food things. Amen? I like to eat food. How many knows you cannot live this life and live it very long without eating some food? Right. Amen? It, y'all are dead. Well, y'all are sleeping on me. I'm talking about food. Baptists are supposed to get excited on food. Amen? You can't live very long without fried chicken. Amen? Hey, normal things. It's normal to need food. It's normal. Watch this. Fitness. He said, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? You can't sit around and wish you was a little taller and get taller. That's what he said. You're not going to worry about yourself. Preacher, I'm short or I'm big or I'm little. Or don't sit around and worry about it. You are what God made you. Now, that don't negate that we ought to take care of our bodies. That's not saying not to exercise, but the Bible does say bodily exercise profiteth little. Little. But godliness with contentment, he said, is great gain. Are y'all here this morning? It's normal. It's normal to worry about our fitness. And then this, it's normal to worry about and to have needs of, not to worry about, but to have needs of our fabrics. He's talking about our raiment and our clothing. In verse 28 through 31, he said, take no thought for your raiment. And he talks about how God clothes the fields with the lilies of the ground. Hey, I'm simply saying, he said, you're not going to help yourself, but it's normal. It's normal to have needs of clothing. It's normal to have needs for the future. Verse 34, he talked about tomorrow and the future. He's looking toward to the future. It's normal to want to plan for the future. He's simply saying, he's not saying these things are bad. He's not talking about sinful things. He's not talking about activities like drunkenness and fornication and bitterness and gossip and adultery. He's not talking about those types of things in this passage. That's not the type of things he's condemning. He's not saying the things are bad. Are y'all with me? He's not saying the things are bad things. What he's saying here is they're normal things. He's pointing out normal things, but they're problems sometimes in our life that we face. They're not only normal, but they're needed. They're needed things. Can I say, look in verse number 32. Watch what Jesus said, verse 32. He said, for after these things, all these things do the Gentiles. That's the other nations, the heathen nation. He said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, watch this, knoweth that ye have, what's that next word? Need of all these things. He said, God knows, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need financial things. He knows you need food. He knows you need fitness. He knows you need some fabrics upon your body. He knows you got a plan for. He knows you have need of all these things. He knows about this. By the word need, it means you're in want of. You have a necessity. Hey, what he's saying here is your heavenly Father knows your need. Hey, they're normal things. They're needed things. You don't think they're needed? Don't eat. See how long you last. Don't pay your bills. Don't go to work. Just sit around and do nothing and see if they're not needed. They're needed things. That's what he's saying. Hey, these are problems that we face. These problems are what takes our focus off. These problems, I mean, because see, if we're not careful, we'll let our priorities get fixed on the problems. And we'll have our eyes on the diet instead of the devotion. We'll have our eyes on money instead of the master. We'll have our focus, on different things than on the kingdom of God. We'll be trying to please ourselves with recreation instead of trying to pursue the righteousness of God. We'll be looking more for a vacation than we are victory in Jesus. I'm simply saying, if we're not careful, we'll get our focus off because of the problems that we face. Problems, the things that are normal. Problems with things that are needed. But I want you to notice this in verse 33. There's not only the priority of our focus. Not only do we see the problems that we face, but we see here in verse 33 the promise of our Father. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And watch this. And he said, and all these things, watch this, I like this, shall be added unto you. Y'all see that? He said, all these things shall be added unto you. Let me say, number one, this is a conditional promise. This is a conditional promise. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to just give you a bunch of things. That's not what he said. Jesus didn't say, I'm just going to throw a bunch of things on you. He said, if you'll seek me first, if you'll, I'm talking about giving attention to the things of God. I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about being saved, knowing you're saved, making sure your salvation. Knowing that you know the Lord and devoting your life to Him, seeking His will, pleasing Him, trying to please Him, spending all your time, spending the bulk of your finances. I'm talking about everything that you've got, just pouring it in heavenly places. Are you listening to me? And he said, if you'll do this, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all these things, all these what things? All these normal things, all these needed things, all these things you've been worrying about. He said, if you'll seek me first, all these things will be added to you. Amen. That's a conditional promise. There's a condition. If you seek, ye shall find. But if you don't seek him first, he hadn't promised to meet your need. All my needs going to be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hold on, friends and neighbors. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that's not what it's all about. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. He's talking to people who had sacrificially given and supported missionaries. They had helped the Apostle Paul financially. And he's saying, listen, because you sacrificed, because you put first the kingdom of God, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to meet your need with my riches. It's not for the carnal person sitting around, wasting their money on cigarettes and lottery tickets and tobacco and booze and sitting around and buying R-rated movies and saying, how you going to pay your bill? Well, God's going to pay my bills. He's going to meet my needs. He promised never to let me down. He's going to meet my needs. Smoke another one, buddy. We've been smoking him short. What I'm saying is this, but he said, if you'll seek him first, he said, all these things will be added unto you. There's a conditional promise there. Let me say, not only is it conditional, but it's concrete. He didn't say might be added to you. He said, shall. Y'all know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We preach that one and say, that's a guarantee. That's a promise. God said, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. That's a promise, not might be, not a think about, but shall be. Guarantee. How many knows that's a guaranteed promise? Well, this right here is guaranteed. It's concrete. He said, if you'll seek him first, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, he said, all these things shall be. Shall be. That means it's a guarantee. That means it's a promise. Now listen, he didn't say all your wants. He didn't say you just go win the lottery if you went to church. No, for he. Matter of fact, I believe the Bible teaches you not to play the lottery. Are you listening? Amen. It's a concrete promise. If you'll seek him first, he'll take care of you. Let me say, that's a comforting promise. That's a comforting promise. All these things shall be added unto you. That, the word added unto you, it means they're going to be placed additionally. Right alongside everything you've sought, he said, I'm going to place all you need. I'm going to take care of it. All these things I'm going to give to you. And watch this, it shall be added. When you add, you've already got, and you're adding, you're increasing. Anybody go to math class? When you add, you're getting bigger. Are you listening to me? 1 + 1 is? 2 + 2 is? 4 + 4 is? 8 + 7 is? I tricked you. Hey, listen to me. But you're getting bigger. He said, you seek me first, and I'm going to add to you. You seek me first. You put me first. You put my kingdom first. You seek my righteousness first. Hey, first what? First above all those other things. Don't put all these things first. Put God first. He said, let me be the priority in your life. Let me be your focus. Let me be the center point. Don't worry about all those problems. Let me take care of them. Let me meet your needs. You seek me. I'll meet the need. I'll add to you. That's what he said. That's a comforting promise. Here. The idea of adding unto you. He said, I'm just going to cast it on top. It's like I can see a pile. And you got a pile of things. And God said, here, I'm just going to throw on top of that pile. I'm going to add to it. I'm going to make it bigger and bigger. You said, are you preaching peace and prosperity? No, I'm preaching the promise of God. That he said, if you seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, he's going to meet your every need. He said that he'll add unto you all these other things. Are you? He said, verse 26. Go back to verse 26 for a second. Watch this. He talks about the fowls. He said, the fowls. Everybody know that's talking about a bird. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not. Anybody ever seen a buzzard out there or a crow out yonder plowing a field and sowing seed? No, they don't sow. He said, the fowls, they sow not, neither do they reap. I've never seen them go out there and shuck the corn. No, but they'll come along and pick up what's falling on the ground. Yes. He said, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. They don't build barns and gather it up for the harvest. Hey, but yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then watch this. He asked the question, are you not much better than they? Ain't you better than birds? Don't you think God, if God cares about a buzzard eating a dead animal, matter of fact, don't get upset when you hit that little bunny rabbit. God had to feed the buzzard. All right, are you listening to me? If God cares enough to put something on the side of the road for a buzzard, if God cared enough to let a piece of grain fall on the ground to feed a sparrow, don't you think he'll take care of your need? Don't you think he cares more about you than he does a bird? Hey, that bird don't have a soul. That bird doesn't have an innate ability to communicate with God through spirit and soul like you do. You're the only one that God breathed life into, and he became a living soul. You as a human, you're the only being that he created in that way, in God's own image. You are the only, you're something special to God. He wants a relationship with you, more so than what he does with the animals of this ground. Hey, do you not think if he takes care of a bird that he'll take care of you? He said it right there. He said, are you not much better than they? And then look at verse number 30. He said, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field? Remember, he's talking about the lilies of the field in verse 28. He said in verse 29, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He's talking about how Solomon rich, man, had the money, had the nice apparel. He said, and Solomon, all his beautiful array, all the nice clothes he said he didn't have anything that would match the beauty of the field when God clothed it with the lilies. And in verse 30, he said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the air. How many knows you ride down the road and you're looking out on the side of the road and you say, man, that's some pretty flowers. My wife likes those flowers all over the place on the side of the road and things come up. And I'm like, man, that's something to mow. But all they are pretty and you got a feel for them. You look at them. Remember some of them I'm talking about? How many of them knows that they don't last year round? They grow up, they last for a little while, and they die. And they're gone. That's what he's saying here. He said, wherefore, God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven. They're gone, they die, they burn up. Them old tomato plants I had, 5-6 foot tall, they was pretty, man. Red tomato, but you come over to my house now, they dried up. They ain't no count. Watch this. If he'll take care of that, if he could, watch this. Shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What is he saying here? Again, in verse 33, seek you first. What is he saying? Pursue him, and he'll provide for you. Many times we pursue everything else and wonder, if we even give him a thought, we wonder where he's at. And it's not his fault, it's our fault. Because our focus got off, we're not pursuing him. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God He didn't say pursue the American dream and I'll help you and bless it. No, he said you seek me first and all my righteousness and my kingdom. He said, and all these other things, I'll add them to you. Not only in this life, listen to me. He's not just talking about wealth and things of this. No, he's not just talking about in this life, though he will meet our needs in this life, but in the eternal ages to come. God, listen to me. He promises us heaven in the eternal ages to come. I'm happy for that. Amen. If we'll seek his kingdom, seek his right, be saved, know him, serve him. He's promised us heaven, but he's also promised us our portion in this life. That is our need. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God and his kingdom, his righteousness, his will, is he your top priority in life? Are you seeking him first this morning? Or are you seeking everything else? And just trying to include God, you know, because you don't want to feel guilty. Yeah, like, you know, like you heard dumb country songs about drinking a beer with Jesus. Look up in here. Look up here just for a second. Let me make this real clear. You ain't drinking no beer with Jesus. Are you listening? Jesus ain't drinking no beer with you. Are you listening to me? Preacher, you being mean. Hey, I'm just telling you the truth. Are you listening to me? You don't just throw his name on anything, he's going to be in on it. About to make me mad. Watch this now. Is God your top priority? Are you seeking him first? Do you desire? Do you inquire after him? Christ, hey, are you trying to see his will done on this earth? Are you trying to pursue after God? Are you trying to practice the righteousness that he has bestowed upon your life? Are you seeking him first? Listen, here's the idea. He's where he said, let this be your aim. Let this be what you're shooting for. Let this be your heartbeat. Let this be your goal in life. Please him. Seek him. Do his will. Seek him first. John Wesley, one of the Wesley brothers, started the Methodist Church. That's what he said. He said, and indeed, speaking of this seeking first, he said, and indeed, whosoever seeks this first will soon come to seek this only. He said, whosoever seeks this first, the kingdom of God, will soon come to seek this only. You say, what's wrong, preacher? I'll tell you what's wrong. We've got too many church members that are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Too earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. We can't see God's will done in the church. We can't see God's will done on earth. It's not because we've got our eyes in heaven and we're no earthly good. No, it's because we're so involved in the things of this world that we're doing heaven no good while we're here. May God help us to seek him first. Are you seeking him first this morning? I mean, is your heartbeat, your desire, your goal, your ambitions in life to please him? I'm talking about him and him only. I mean, are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? He said, if you will, he said, all these other things, these normal things, these things you're worried about, quit worrying about them. Quit worrying about them. Start seeking him and let him add to you. He said, you just put me first. You worry about your relationship with me. You worry about what you're doing for me. I'll take care of the rest. Seek him first. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray you take this message, simple thought. I pray you'd use it for your glory. I pray, God, if there's someone here this morning that they're not saved, they don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's their home, that they've been forgiven, and that they've been saved. God, I pray today that, God, you convict them and draw them and help them to be saved before it be too late. God, I pray if there's some Christians here and their priorities are off, out of focus, God, I pray today that you'd work in their heart. Maybe you've spoke to us this morning. God, have your will and way in all that's said and done. Whatever needs to be done, I pray you'd do it for your glory. And God, we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're standing on.